Good morning. Welcome to Eagles Way Church. We're glad that you're here this morning. Got a special treat for you today. I got good news and I got bad news. The bad news is that Buren is not feeling well this morning, and he's decided to stay at home. So we had to go to another choice, and Will's out of town, Dusty's out of town. So if you've been missing Wednesday nights, you get to have Wednesday night here on Sunday morning. My dad is going to, Joey's going to take care of it this morning, and I'm really looking forward to it. I was actually going to use that in my welcome because of how good Wednesday nights have been, and I encourage you to come in 2 weeks when Ralph Martin, my man, starts his School of Positive Thinking again for, I forget however many week class it is, but trust me, you don't want to miss it. It's awesome, awesome, good stuff. What I've learned through Wednesdays, I shared this Wednesday night, is just the spirit of encouragement. And I just want to encourage you today just to let it all go and to praise God this morning. I want to encourage you that, you know, today's a new day. Whatever's happened this week or whatnot, today is a new day, and we serve a good God, and let's just worship Him this morning. There's a lyric in the song that we're about to sing, and it goes, I'm breathing in your grace and breathing out your praise. Kitty mentioned to me this morning, some folks might think it's just, I'm breathing in your praise and breathing out your praise. But think about this morning as you breathe in God's grace and how awesome it is. And then you just breathe out His praise. Let's stand this morning and let's worship Him. There in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountaintop, there in the every and the wonder, there in the sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. It's there on a wedding day, there in the weeping by the wayside, there in the very breath we breathe, your great grace. praise, Father. We give you praise this morning. We worship you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I come, well, I confess, well, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart, you're the one that guides my heart. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, now I need you. Runs deep, your grace is more. Is found, it's where you are. Comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll follow you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
in the midst of all of our chaos and our troubles and our sorrows, God, that you're there to bring us that peace that we can rest in. We thank you, Jesus.
Of every motive, every burden, everything that's of myself, and I just want to wait on you, my God. I just want to dwell on who you are.
Thank you that we can come in to worship you and give back to you, God. and praise, admiration, God. You are so faithful and true and loving. We just thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.
Well, as I said this morning, Buren is not here, and Joey's going to, Dad, Joey, whatever, he's going to speak for us this morning. Pastor Will, I said, is not here this morning as well, so I'm going to take up the offering. I've never done that before, but I'm going to do it. So if the ushers will make their way down, we'll go ahead and take up the offering, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for who you are. God, we just thank you that we have the opportunity to give back, Lord. We just pray that you take these tithes and offerings, Lord, and bless it and multiply it, God. And we praise you and we thank you that we're able to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
See how nervous I am? Forgot to put my tithe in the box. I'm just kidding. I'm not nervous. Not nervous at all. I'll tell you about this morning. I was telling Dr. David, he was asking me when I found out about this morning. And my routine on Sunday mornings is I usually drop Kitty off here when they start practicing at 8 o'clock, and I go to Louisa's and eat breakfast and read. I usually take whatever book I'm reading, and just it's a good quiet time for me where I can go and sit and read and contemplate and meditate and all that kind of thing. So I got over there this morning, and my phone rang, and it was Brandon. And Brandon said, Dad, he said, I think Buren's sick this morning, and they're going to ask you to speak. And I thought he was cutting up trying to play with me. So I said, oh, come on. And he said, no, I'm serious. And I said, okay, all right. And I said, it'll be fine. If they call, it'll be okay. And I hung up, put the phone down, started eating my breakfast, thinking nothing else about it. Because, again, I thought he was playing with me. But then I got a text from Barbara, and sure enough, it was true. And so she asked me, and so I said, yes, of course. And I'm excited about it. And I'm going to tell you a little bit bring the word to you this morning that God's placed in my heart. So I finished my breakfast real quick, and I went home. And on my way home, I started thinking, well, you know, the first thing I need to do is change clothes, because I didn't dress to speak. But I'm going to tell you know what God said to me? That's not necessary. Amen. It's not necessary. He put my mind in the right frame because he said, don't worry about all that little stuff. Yeah. You go home and sit down and let me tell you what I want you to say this morning. Let everything fall away. So I did. Now, when I first stepped up here, I'm thinking, man, I've been speaking on Wednesday nights right down there in the minor leagues. This morning I got the call to the big leagues. I'm up here. There you go. And I'm going to tell you, when I finished last Wednesday night, it was the sixth in the series. I got to do that for six Wednesday nights. And I had shared with Kitty, and I'd shared with God, and I thought about it a lot myself. I thought, man, now what am I going to do? Because I'm telling you, I loved getting ready for Wednesday nights. I loved the preparation. I loved the meditation of sitting and let God just handing me stuff, telling me stuff to write down. And I was excited about that. And so when the 6 weeks were up, I was thinking, now what? And I even said to God, now what do I do? And here's what I heard him say. Be patient. Be patient. Okay? And I listened to that. And so I just said, well, you know, we'll just see what happens. Now, I did not want Buren to be sick this morning. That was not part of my prayer life. Matter of fact, we're going to pray for Buren in just a second. But see, what came back to me when Barbara sent that text this morning was, just be patient. There'll be a time, and I'm going to use you. Okay? I just want you to be ready. So here I am. But let's do pray for Buren this morning, because I'm going to tell you, Buren to me is my leader, my mentor. He's a father figure to me. He's not old enough to be my father, but he's a father figure to me. He's my spiritual father figure. And he's a special person. He's special. I've been with him in a lot of places. I've listened to him talk. I've been with him on the golf course. I've been with him watching ball games. I've been with him in church. I've been with him in meetings. Buren's special. He's special. Let's pray for him this morning. Father, this morning you know that Buren, your son, our leader, is not feeling well. And we just pray, we take the time this morning to come together corporately together, and we ask you to heal him. I pray that your healing power will just flood him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet this morning, and that he'll feel better right now. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in high school, I started living a little bit of my dream as I played on the high school baseball team, Griffin High Bears. Woo, big time. I can remember that one of the first games that we had, Coach Bobby Jean Pierce was a coach back then, and he posted the starting lineup, and I came in, went in the dugout, my name's not on the sheet. I'm not starting. I let negativity start hitting on me right then. I'm not good enough. I'm not whatever. I started letting it eat at me a little bit, not knowing what I know today, but I look back now and I realize what was going on in my head. Sometime during the game, there was an opportunity where he called my name. And he said, I need you to pinch run. I need you to go run. I used to be fast. So he put me in the game. And when I went in the game, there was a flooding that came over me because he had called my name. He had faith in me. He brought me in to do something. Yeah. And I mean, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I can still see the dirt. I can still, all around me, okay, everything there. Now, I'd love to tell you I went around and scored a winning run or anything like that, but I didn't. But you know what? That's not really that important. The important thing was the lesson that I learned right there is that he called on me. And see, that's what I'm doing right here today. I got thinking about it when I got the text from Barbara. I'm going to pinch hit this morning. I'm pinch hitting. He just called me off the bench and said, I'm going to need you right now. Go do it. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, what I'm going to tell you this morning, you will already know it's not from me because I didn't have time to put this together. Okay? I didn't. When Barbara called me, I left Louise's, went home, got on the computer, started typing things as God was putting it in my mind. Stuff that just came out of the blue. When I say out of the blue, you know what I mean, where it came from. It didn't just appear. He sent it to me, gave it to me. Things that I don't know why they came up. Now, those of you here on Wednesday nights know that I love to tell stories, and I'm going to tell you a story this morning, okay? The story that came to me, and I went and did a little bit of research on the computer once when I got home, but I knew it as I was driving home, thinking about I need to change clothes. I said, no, you don't need to change clothes, but you need to look up this story, okay? I'm a baseball fan. I love baseball. I love sports, so stick with me. In 1988, the Los Angeles Dodgers were playing the Oakland Athletics in the World Series. It was a time to where the Dodgers were a team, and by the way, I don't really like any team from the West Coast, but that's what was playing, the Dodgers and the Athletics. So I was watching it because I love baseball. The Dodgers were in the World Series, and they weren't supposed to be there. See, they didn't, on paper and by all the people who do their thing said, they're not going to be in the World Series, but here they were. They were in the World Series. They even made it to, thank you, David, they even made it, you know, through the playoffs and everything, with everybody saying they won't make it to the next round. They won't make it to the next round. But they did. They were in the World Series. Now, World Series is possibly seven days of Christmas for me. And those of you who know me, Christmas is it, okay? But the World Series is special. But they weren't supposed to be there, and they certainly weren't supposed to win. Now, some of you probably know the story that I'm fixing to tell you here. But if you do, stick with me, because like I tell some people, I'm going to tell it my way, okay? So listen. Here's a story. In game one, first game of the World Series, it was being played in Dodger Stadium. There was a player on the Dodgers team who was a really good ball player, but he wasn't necessarily the star. But he was a good player. His name was Kirk Gibson. Kirk Gibson had gotten traded to the Dodgers the year before, so this was his first year with the Dodgers. And he was a pretty good hitter, and he was a pretty good fielder, and he was a pretty good leader, whatnot, but he wasn't great, okay? During the playoffs, he had injured both of his legs. He pulled a hamstring in one, and he did something else in the other. I can't remember what it was. But both of his legs were hurt, and not to mention in game one, that when they showed up at the stadium, he was kind of like Buren this morning. He had a stomach virus. He was not going to play. He was not in the starting lineup because he was injured and he was sick. He was not going to play. The game went on in the first inning. Player for the Oakland Athletics, Jose Canseco, hit a grand slam. Oakland's up 4-0, first inning. Not looking good for the Dodgers, but like I used to tell my kids when I was coaching them, good news and bad news. Bad news is we're behind. Good news is we got the whole game to catch up. Let's go do it. The Dodgers chipped away a little bit, and I'm going to fast all the way up to the ninth inning. In the ninth inning, the Dodgers were down by one. The score was 4-3. The leadoff hitter got on base, so that's the tying run at first base. It's game one of the World Series. Kirk Gibson, during that game, his legs, both of his legs were injured, where not only injured, he could not hardly walk. He walked with a definite limp. He couldn't, running was not an option. If the stadium caught fire, somebody had to take him out, okay? He wasn't going to get out. But when it got in the eighth inning, the manager for the Dodgers, Tommy Lasorda, sent word to the training room, because, by the way, Kirk Gibson, the whole ball game, was down getting treatment and in the training room. And we're going to come to more of that in just a second. He sent word down there. He told somebody, he said, go ask Kirk if he can hit for me. So somebody went down and asked Kirk, and then the word came back, yes. Runner on first, two outs. Tommy Lasorda called downstairs and said, tell Kirk to come up and hit. He made his way up the steps, went into the dugout, shook his head, loosened up a little bit, stepped up to the plate. Now, if you happen to have been watching it, walking to the plate was a chore. It was a chore. There were announcers, there were people watching this game thinking, what is he doing? All the people on this team, and he's got this guy who can't even hardly walk, and he's going up to the whatever. But see, Tommy Lasorda knew something. The manager knew something. The story gets even better, it builds up. My skin starts to move when I talk about this, okay? Because Kirk Gibson stepped up to the plate, and the first two pitches were strikes. No balls and two strikes. Now, he worked the count to 3-2, full count. When they got to full count, the runner at first had already stole second base, so he's on second. If he can get a base hit, they can score and tie the game anyway. He fouled another pitch off, and then on the next pitch, and anybody that knows baseball, anybody that's ever hit a home run, you can see the swing. He hit left-handed, so I'm going to try. The way he had a smooth swing. But this swing that Kurt had was very awkward. It was just a slow pull the ball this way. As he hit the ball, when the ball connected, it went into the sky. The announcers on TV were like, it's. It went over the fence for a home run. The Dodgers won the game by one run. That was a walk-off home run in game one of the World Series. And you can imagine everybody went crazy. And if you've not seen it, go Google it and look at it. The guy going around the bases can barely move. But the key is he did it. Now, here's what I want to focus on today. Something took place right there, and by what he did, he lit a fire in his team, because they weren't supposed to win. They won that game, and they won the World Series. But see, that one act was a spark. If anybody who knows anything about sports, when that home run was hit, the World Series was over. It was over. There was no way they were going to lose from that moment on. See, his moment propelled his team to victory. It solidified in their mind that they can do anything and that they can win. Now, here's what I want to get to. In the interview afterwards, after the game, they talked to Kirk Gibson, of course, and he said, I sat in the training room the whole ball game, not knowing how any of this was going to transpire. But he said, in my mind, I dreamed that very moment. He said, in my mind, in the first inning, there was no score. He dreamed that very moment. Here's what he said. People think I'm crazy, but I dreamed it, and it happened. Wow. People think I'm crazy, but I dreamed it, and it happened. See, he saw it happen.
Yes, sir.
He saw it happen. When he got the call, there was no doubt in his mind. He didn't say, well, I might be able to hit, or I'll try, or I'll go up there. He'd already been there. He'd already been there. He'd already dreamed this. My question for you this morning from God is, what are you dreaming? We all dream. What are you dreaming? What's your dream? We all have dreams that we probably dream and we think about them and we talk ourselves out of them just like that. Just like that. Because you know what? How can that happen? My challenge for you this morning is just to listen to this story. Here's a guy that dreamed something that happened exactly the way he dreamed it. 2 hours before. Probably even before that. But on that day, he sat in the training room and dreamed that very moment happening. That he would step up and do that. What are you dreaming? In Numbers chapter 24, verse 4, this is just a part of the verse, but I'll read this. The oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, his eyes are opened. Wow. See, our dreams, they're up to us. God gives us the dream, and the rest of it's up to you. Not that he's leaving you alone, but he gives you the choice to engage it or let it die. It's our choice. In every one of our lives, we get to choose. Most of us look and we see people who fulfill their dreams and we say, I wish I could do that. I wish that would happen to me. I'd love to live that moment. Here's the message for you this morning. You absolutely can. You absolutely can. Whatever your dream is. I just want us to stop for just a second. Think about it. In your mind, don't tell anybody right now, what are you dreaming? What is your dream? What is it? As I was riding back home to starting to get ready and letting God move things in his mind, I'm going to share something with you this morning that I've never told anybody but Kitty, and it was a while back, and she may not even remember it, but she might. And if I get emotional about it, just bear with me. Get emotional with me if you want to. But see, I've had a dream for a long time. And I've killed it in myself. I've killed that dream myself by saying that's not going to happen or it won't or those kind of things. But I had a vision a long time ago, and I say a long time ago. Kitty and I have been married 15 years, but it was not long after we had gotten married. Kitty and I were actually teaching classes on blended families on Wednesday night. And I had a vision in a dream of me standing on this stage preaching with Kitty and with David ministering. I had shared with Kitty that I saw at some point in time that I was going to be standing here ministering with you two. Wow. I thought about that this morning. This morning. See, I didn't just run chase after that dream. I can tell you some stories about why I'm here today, but I had that dream. And see, to enhance that dream, something I didn't even see is my son Brandon was up here with what he just shared. And see, at that time, Brandon was about to start college. He didn't even go to Eagles Way. Okay? But this morning now, all of us together, but us four as a family, helping minister together. See, that was a vision. That was something that I saw. And I just kind of let it slide until this morning I was reminded of it. I was reminded of that very vision. I'll tell you something else. All of you are special to me here. But Miss Callie is somebody who's extremely special to me. We have a relationship. Our relationship is on Sunday mornings, I try to be here to help her get out of the car. She's got other people that do it and can do it, will do it, but I want to do it. Okay? I want to do it. Now, we've started that relationship, but see, she loves me and I love her, and she gave a prophetic word not too long ago when I was ordained, because somebody said something about what I was going to do, and she said, he's going to preach. He's going to preach. And even when I heard that, I thought, because see, this is really not necessarily what I was seeing at the moment, but that's what she said. And Miss Callie, here I am today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for that. See, you need to know how you speak in other people's lives, that you may fulfill a dream that had gone dim because you had it and you kind of, but you never know. what those words. See, I didn't even put those together until this morning when I was putting my notes here together as God was speaking to me. He was reminding me of what my dream had been and about what Miss Callie had said. See, I have a dream right now. My dream is being fulfilled right in front of my eyes in many, many ways. Kitty, when we first got married, told me that I should be a coach, and that was before I ever met Ralph. But she told me, you need to be a life coach. And I listened to her, but I didn't act on it. I didn't act on it. It is what I love doing more than anything, is speaking into people and helping people and listening to people and encouraging people. But now my dream's coming true. See, I met Ralph. I started going to visit Ralph. And Ralph helped me in so many ways of understanding how my mind thinks or how it works. All those things about allowing things to come within me. And I shared with Ralph last Sunday or the Sunday before, out of everything that he said to me, the two most important words that he said to me at one time was, it's time. He told me it's time. We sat in one of our sessions and we shared with one another, and he just smiled at me and said, it's time. It's time. Now that sounds insignificant, but when I went home, and I was on my way home, I was thinking about how powerful those two words are. See, it's kind of like, not necessarily the home run in the ninth inning, but it propelled me to go ahead and start doing something. To not just sit back and wait. To not just sit back and say, well, somebody will come ask me to do this or do that. See, I've learned that whatever you want, whatever God puts in your heart and your dreams are, you have to go get them. He does the part of giving you the dream, of encouraging you with them. But what he wants you to do is use your feet and hands and mind and go get it. Now go get it. It is there. It is for you. It is yours. You have to go get it. So what are you dreaming this morning? I'm going to share some more about my dreams. I'm dreaming of preaching at times. I'm dreaming of teaching. I'm dreaming of coaching. And by the way, this is going to sound like a commercial, but it's not. This is, you know, some of the people that I've coached right now since I've started, man, I am so thrilled of where they are. It has nothing to do with my per se me, but I'm being used as a conduit to let God work through them. And to see some of the changes that have taken place in their lives, there are three people that I've been coaching who all have new jobs. All three of them have new jobs. And one of the persons that I was coaching not only didn't have a job, but he was absolutely doing nothing. He'll tell you that. He was doing nothing. He was waking up in the morning and going to bed. And that was pretty much it. And see, what he needed was, he needed somebody to push him just a little bit and to remind him of who he was and what the possibilities are. And see, the light came on. The light came on for him. And the light came on, and by the way, any of you can be coaches and do that. See, you can make the light come on by people by being an encourager. Tell them what they can do. Don't hold them back. Don't pull them back. Don't press them down. Push them up. Yeah. Push them up. See, I'm dreaming about doing a lot of things. Right now, I'm still working at Delta as a retired contractor 4 days a week, and I'm trying to work my way into a full-time life coach and doing the other things that I do. I'm about to get my certification on personal training, and I'm going to do some of that. I've met with some people here in town that I'm going to do some things for them and their business. A lot of things are happening. But see, they're happening because I'm putting feet to my dreams. I'm putting feet to them. I'm not just sitting back thinking they're going to come to me. I'm going to them. I'm going to get it. See, I'm dreaming about some stuff that I'm going to tell you this morning. I'm going to expose myself with this right here, and you're going to probably laugh. But see, I'm dreaming of being able to teach to large crowds. Yeah. I'm dreaming of being able to be a person who helps motivate and inspire large amounts of people to go do what they were put here to do, to be the best that they can possibly be. See, I have a dream to one day stand in the locker room at the University of Georgia and talk to that football team. And you may sit there and say, well, you're crazy. And see, remember what Kurt Gibson said? People said I'm crazy, but that's what I saw. And so I'm going to hold on to those kind of dreams, that right there. Those are my dreams. And it's not about Joey Grubbs. Yes, sir. It's about delivering a message. It's about delivering a message is what it's about. Because, see, I could have that dream and I could sit back and let somebody else do it, but why? Why? That message has been placed inside of me. You have your message. And I want you to be able to spread it, to be able to chase it, to be able to go after your dream. So again, the question for us this morning is, what are you dreaming? What are you dreaming about? What do you want in your life? What do you want to see? Where do you want to go? Here's how you get it. One of the Wednesday nights I told people, it was either the first or the second Wednesday night, and we're not going to do that this morning, but I'm going to challenge you to do it. The quieter you become, the louder God becomes. Amen. So my challenge for you is this. Whatever your dream is, you take some time to be absolutely quiet.
Yes, sir.
Quiet within your mind. Quiet with things around you. Find you a spot, wherever it is. If it's in the woods, if it's on a beach, which is one of my favorites, by the way. Find you a spot where you can sit and you can be quiet, and God's whisper gets louder and louder.
Amen.
In your life.
Amen.
See, that's how you find it. That's how you fulfill your dream, is that you become quiet and you let him speak to you. One of the other dreams that I have right now is something that I feel so much a part of, and I hope you do too, and I want to inspire you with this morning. The things that Ralph teaches and that Buren teaches here every day and the things that I'm teaching are principles about how we think that are based on our giving, our thankfulness, our love for others, non-judgmental attitudes, all those things. See, if you listen to certain people today, things are really getting bad, but we know they're not.
Amen.
That's what's preached here every Sunday. Things are not getting bad, they're getting better. Here's what I'm excited about. See, and I want you to catch this dream with me. See, I see a wave. I see a wave just like on the ocean overcoming the whole world. That's my vision. Is seeing this wave that's overcoming, and this wave is a wave of attitude. It's a wave. It's a wave of acceptance. It's a wave of loving everybody, no matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, what they believe, any of those things. See, we too much in our society. We have said things like we love one another, but we put conditions on it because there are certain people that do certain things that we think they're wrong. And okay. And see, what that does is just hold you back from what your intent was in the beginning. Loving one another. Accepting each other of what they are. We can sit here and call out different groups and say this and that and the other, and they're wrong about it and they look at things wrong. You can. You can do that. And where will that get you?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. See, when God said love one another, he didn't say love one another if. There's nothing there. He said love one another. So my dream is, I see churches right around us right now where things are changing. They're changing. And they're changing in a good way. They're changing in a way to where people are accepted more. That no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter how they talk, no matter what they believe, we bring them in and we love them and we care for them and we show them. That's what this is all about. So that's my dream, and that's what I want us to hold on to that this morning. See, I believe that it's actually happening right now. I believe that that dream is coming true right now. Okay? We can take an attitude and say one day, but I want to believe it's happening right now. And I want you to be a part of that wave. And we are as a church. But the challenge for each one of us here this morning is, am I really a part? Okay, am I really a part? Do I buy into that? I want you to buy into it and understand it. That this is how it works. This is how the world will be overcome with love, acceptance, all the way around. I shared with Ralph before how, man, this stuff is so profound, but yet so simple. And I've told him, all the problems in the world can be solved with this one thing.
Very simple.
That's how it is. See, most of the problems in the world are created because somebody in their mind decides that they're right and the other's wrong.
You got it, Joy. That's it.
And that's where it's happened. So much of it. See, I don't have to debate with people. I don't have to debate with them. I'm going to go through my life believing and living what I'm living as it is. And if somebody disagrees with me, that's okay. That's all right.
Amen.
That's okay. I'm still going to live the way I'm going to live.
That's it.
And I'm going to believe what I believe. And I'm going to do what I do. And I know I'm doing it according to His word. And when I do, other people catch on to that because it's happening all over.
Amen.
It's happening everywhere. We don't have to look at it like it's a battle for us to win today.
There it is.
Okay? What we need to do is know that we live it out every day of our life. One at a time. One at a time. One at a time. They all come on board. We get on top of that wave. So my challenge for you this morning is, what are you dreaming? And I hope your dream is exactly that right there. Dreaming that our world, there is a wave of acceptance, love, thankfulness, giving. It's taking over. It's taking over. It's taking over. You can listen to the other if you want to. But I can tell you that listening to that and believing this, it's two different worlds. It's two different worlds. So that's the choice that you have this morning. See, I want us to be what God instructed us to do is to be the sower. So what I want you to imagine this morning is, I want you to imagine that each one of us are carrying a bag of seeds on our side. And everywhere we go, every day, all the time, no matter where you are, I want you to reach in your pocket in that bag and drop seeds.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere you go.
That's good, son.
Everywhere you go.
Good metaphor.
Yep. They won't all grow. They won't all grow. But a lot of them will. And if you keep spreading it, before you know it, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So that's what I want to leave you with this morning is I want you to imagine yourself with a pouch of seeds of goodness, of thankfulness, of gratefulness, of praise, all those things, of loving people. It's on your side.
Good.
And when you wake up in the morning, you just open that thing, make sure it's full of seeds, and all day long you just drop seeds.
Good.
Everywhere you go. And just go do it. Spread it all over, everywhere. Let it touch everybody. I want to ask you this morning to just make a commitment to do that. To make a commitment to identify what your dreams are. To make your dreams come true by putting feet to them.
Amen.
Make them happen.
That's it,
to be a part of the dream of this church and of a larger area. Of that there's a wave that's overcoming the world of goodness, of thanksgiving, of love. That you have that pouch of seeds on your side and that every day, all day long, you're spreading seeds. All day long. Wherever you go, spread it. Spread it. Keep spreading. Keep believing that every time you spread, they're going to sprout up. They're going to grow. They're going to grow. They're going to produce. Okay? So I want you to just make that commitment. Now, the last thing is, see, just what I said about the feet to it, to your dreams. All of us have had dreams, just like I told you I've had some time back, that I just let it be a dream. What I want to call you to do this morning is to put action to it, okay? Don't just listen to what God had for us this morning in this word and walk away and say, that was a good word. Don't just walk away and say, that makes sense. Somebody else will do it. I want to call you to action. Each individual, each person, we all have that responsibility. See, one of the things that I talked about on Wednesday nights is that the way to success is to be responsible. See, successful people are responsible. People who fail live in a world of blame and excuses. That's the only two that there are. Only two options. You either are responsible or you're making an excuse. One of the two. Nothing in between. I want us to be a church of responsible people, and we are. But let's all, no matter what level you're on, in other words, no matter how responsible you are, we can be even more responsible. All the time. Get a bigger bag of seeds. Spread them more. Be even more. Get two bags. Two hands at a time. See, we can all get even more and more. So that's my challenge to you this morning. That's what I want to leave you with. I want it to be a call of action, not of I heard it and I understand it and that would be great. How about I heard it, I understand it, and let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Okay? You with me? All right. I'm going to close with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the word that you gave me this morning. I thank you for the time and the opportunity to come here. And Lord, I pray that it'll just be a word that will resonate within our heart, that it be a word that we can take it, cultivate it, and allow it to grow. Help each one of us to understand our responsibility in being who you need to be, to identify our dreams, to chase our dreams, to put feet on them, Lord, to know that they will come true, to actually see them, to have that vision, just like that scripture verse said. And my vision is that wave that overcomes, dear Lord, and I know that's your vision as well. That we just be a whole world of love, of gratefulness, thanksgiving, of praise, acceptance, in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and let's worship him one more time this morning. And we're going to sing Your Grace Finds Me. And again, like I said earlier, with this word that Dad has spoken this morning, let's just breathe in his grace and breathe out his praise, but not just right here. Let's do that as we walk out the door and as we spend the week doing what we want to do. But let's just praise him right now before we leave. There in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, Your great grace. It's there on the mountaintop, there in the everyday and the sorrow and the dancing, Your great grace, oh, such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, Your grace finds me. Yes, Your by the grave.
passion to